from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time, we're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Off and rolling, new week, Monday, August 12, 2024. The Olympics are done. We have an Olympic wrap-up off the top. But welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer, as always. That's Connor Dunning on X at C Dunning99. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, man?
Have a good weekend.
I had a good weekend. Okay. I saw the trap on Friday, and then saw Team USA win the gold on Saturday.
And Sunday.
And now today, I am dealing with post-Olympic depression.
Yeah, I was talking to my dad about that yesterday. I always go into the Olympic cycle thinking, hey, am I actually going to watch? Am I going to really be that bought in? Of course, I buy in. And then as this past weekend hits, I'm always kind of depressed that it's
the Sunday Scaries had an additional element to them.
You see
yesterday.
The closing ceremony, and you're like, ah, dang it.
You're like, oh, Tom Cruise, and then you're like, oh, wait a second. This means it's over.
Although the throw to L.A. 2028 was pretty badass.
Pretty cool.
Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg's been traveling his ass off, huh?
Snoop has been traveling his ass off, and Snoop
did
got
you,
paid.
Did you see?
Good for Snoop.
$500,000 a day for his participation.
Good for Snoop.
That's pretty damn good. Can somebody give me the final number? Final amount of money,
I mean,
that Snoop
it's
was
what,
paid?
It's 2 weeks, right? The Olympics, basically.
Yeah,
so 14 times 500. Good God.
That's good.
Good for him.
Nice 7 million. Just 7 million. Whatever.
Cash. Some cash. Casual 7 mil.
That'll play. Although he gets paydays like that all the time.
I wonder what he's going to spend it on.
He won't spend it in one place. I don't know.
Different dispensaries?
Yeah, maybe. He might. He has his own, right?
He probably does.
Yeah,
he does.
He could throw all that money and invest it in his own stuff.
The football teams are going to get some new unis.
Yeah, we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to open on Team USA, both the Team USAs, and what they were able to accomplish this weekend in basketball, beating France, getting over top of the home country, winning gold. Men's basketball handled France a little bit easier than women's basketball, kind of surprising, but women's basketball continues to be, I mean, probably, if not without a question, the best thing going in Olympic play. They have not lost a game since I have been alive in Olympic play. 61 straight wins, 9 straight gold medals. Then we will talk about who will participate in 2028 with, you know, the big three that we saw this year take over. Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Steph Curry likely not to participate going forward because of their age and just because of where we're headed. Although I wonder how much being at home, being in LA, will sort of shift this conversation. That's going to be yet to be seen, but we will talk through that. As far as guests, we are not so loaded today. We only have one guest today because we have a lot of news. At 5 o'clock, David Cobb will join, though, as he does every single Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from CBS Sports, talk a little college football, college basketball. We had the AP poll, preseason college football AP poll, get released today. And Memphis, somewhere around 34th, Connor, is that how I read it?
Is that how I read it?
In the coaches poll, they were voted as the best, the highest ranking group of five. In this one, though, Boise State and Liberty got ahead of them. But we'll talk through the AP poll, talk with David Cobb about that. 6 o'clock, we'll talk NFL training camp stories. And really, with NFL training camp, we just have contract disputes that I'm just amazed with this particular moment. Brandon Ayuk, I am getting tired of this story. We'll talk about it, but I'm getting absolutely beside myself about it because it's just taken too damn long. I mean, even after last season ended, this guy was asking for a new contract. The 49ers have been sitting on their hands for the most part, even though they act like they're going back and forth in contract talks with him. Then he asked for a trade. He doesn't approve of those trades, and now the 49ers are back into discussions with Brandon Ayuk. But also we have Hassan Reddick, who has officially asked for a trade from the Jets after getting traded to them 4 months ago. He has yet to play a game or participate in a training camp practice for the Jets, yet he has asked for a trade. And then CeeDee Lamb. How do I put this lightly, Connor? CeeDee Lamb's situation continues to be annoying, for sure, for Cowboys fans. But I think the more annoying part of this is Jerry Jones. He cannot close his mouth about it. I know he's asked about it all the time, but when you're asked about it, you could probably have more political answers. You could act more like a politician. But he just says what's on his mind, and I think it's making the situation worse. And we'll tell you the most recent sort of comment that Jerry Jones has made on CeeDee Lamb. We'll hop into the Blitz around 6:30, talk about NFL preseason, as we had a bunch. Caleb Williams finally participated. I thought he looked pretty good. We had a lot of rookie quarterbacks that looked good over the weekend. Blake Watson, shout out, did pretty well with the Broncos. Looks like he can carve out a role there, but there's a lot of different things we need to discuss involving NFL preseason, and then we'll talk about the Wyndham Championship. Did you see what happened?
I did.
Matt Kuchar. Matt Kuchar, just seemingly not a good guy. We know in 2019 he was the guy that was accused of, and really did, shortchange his caddy in Mexico. Gave him $5,000, even though he won $1.2 million. We know the usual cut for a caddy is about 10%, so he should have been paid somewhere around $100,000, maybe a little bit more than that. Gave him $5,000 and then did not pay his caddy until everybody on the internet started going after Matt Kuchar. But he had another situation unfold this weekend where he was the last player in at the Wyndham Championship, shanks his drive, and then waited until this morning at 7 a.m., made sure all of the people that were volunteering at the Wyndham Championship, all of the bigwigs at the Wyndham Championship, made sure that they had to get held over until Monday at 7 a.m. to watch him hit four extra shots. We'll talk about that in the Blitz. Now, let's open right here. Final medal count for the Olympics definitely favored the United States of America. Well done, well done, well done. 40 golds, 44 silvers, 42 bronze for a grand total of 126 total medals. That got over top of China, who only had 91. They did tie them with golds at 40. But then after that, you had Great Britain, France, and Australia. Great Britain, 65 medals. France, 64. Australia, 53. United States fared really well in these Olympics. And I hate to do this, but with the Noah Lyles situation going on right now, there was a story in Time published about Noah Lyles and Ann Edwards. And I really have been willing to look past the Noah Lyles World Championship nonsense. But now, did you see this? Noah Lyles apparently was negotiating an Adidas contract extension last year, and he was asked to go to a shoe release event for Anthony Edwards. And he said, "You want me to do what? You want to invite me to an event for a man who has not even been to an NBA Finals in a sport that you don't even care about, and you're giving him a shoe? No disrespect. The man is an amazing athlete. He is having a heck of a year. I love that they saw the insight to give him a shoe, but they saw that he was going to be big. All I'm asking is, how could you not see that for me? So that's the new story coming out for Noah Lyles. He has said that that is not the case, even though they had a direct quote. But it kind of bugs me that the United States and China ended up tying for golds when if Noah Lyles was participating in the 4x100 and they didn't have that big baton issue and get DQ'd from the 4x100, they probably could have gotten over top of China and gotten 41 golds instead of 40 and been the ultimate winner in this Olympic run, in this Olympic cycle.
It's time to keep it a buck with Noah Lyles. He's just an annoying person.
I've been willing to look past a lot of things.
He's just annoying.
I gave up on the world championship thing, blah, 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 blah. But Noah Lyles is he's pestering
just
and
shut
annoying.
Up. Shut
he,
up.
He just keeps talking.
Stop being so antagonistic toward your fellow Team USA members. It's super weird.
Yes.
It's weird. What it is he thinks he's far more famous than he actually is. Listen, man, you're an unbelievable runner.
You're fast. Fastest man in the world after the 100
meters. Literally could possibly be the fastest man in the world, even though you haven't raced everybody in the world. Shut up. Like, people have given you respect. They gave you the flowers that you deserved. Trying to compare yourself to Anthony Edwards, though, in terms of fame, especially within the United States, it's absolutely ridiculous. Come on, man.
Now, he has tried to clarify on his social media.
Sure, of course he did.
Saying, oh, I had prior engagements. That's why I didn't do it. Well, why do we have, like, a direct quote from you? I don't think we'd have this direct of a quote.
Somebody's lying.
Or a text or an email, wherever the hell they got this from. If it was just about prior engagement.
Here's the thing. When you read the quote, you went, yeah, I could see him saying it.
Yes, 100%. I had no doubts that he said that.
Right.
Yeah. But you know what? Team USA, they are world champions. Because they got over top of France.
You're
98-87.
Right. You're damn right.
It was iconic. What they did against Serbia, winning 95-91. Beautiful comeback in the fourth quarter. Steph Curry had 36 points. And then the gold medal game, I think, was defined by Steph Curry as well in that fourth quarter. He was unconscious. He could not miss. I have not seen that type of Steph Curry in a long while, Connor. I know people just have gotten used to Steph Curry being on that type of level. But he made one over Victor Wembanyama. Then he had Evan Fournier and another France defender right in his face. He just threw one up late in the fourth quarter when they were up by three. Nailed it. I have not seen him get that hot from the three-point line since probably the early runs of the Warriors, the early championship runs of the Warriors. Ended with 24 points, had 8 threes that he made out of 13 attempts. He was unconscious those last two games. They finally unlocked him. Steve Kerr was able to get him unlocked, and it proved to be the biggest sort of influence on Team USA winning gold by the end of this whole thing. France just could not get any closer because Steph Curry was knocking down threes directly in their eye hole when it mattered the most.
The three guys for Team USA, KD, LeBron, and Steph Curry, stepped up when you needed it the most. And they were the difference in the Olympics for Team USA versus everybody else. At the end of the day, Team USA still has three of the best players who have ever walked on a basketball court. You can argue it's the best player of all time, the best scorer of all time, and the best three-point shooter of all time. Like, that's even what they had.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you can, you know, it's the only real argument there is the best player. But, you know, we have discussions about that another time. It was unreal to watch. It felt like a special moment. And I am glad that everybody... It was one of those few moments where everyone is like, listen, you can't really overstate how special it is to watch these three guys play together. And for Steph Curry to finish it in the way that he did, it was genuinely one of the most magical experiences of my basketball watching life.
And not having to be annoyed by Steph Curry was great.
It was...
Not having to worry about him knocking down threes in the eye holes of the team that you care about is phenomenal.
One of the scariest things in life is Steph Curry shooting a three in the clutch against your team. When he misses, it feels like your team scores. To be able to be on the other side of that and root for, I don't know if you heard it, the demon named Steph Curry, which he has been dubbed by French broadcasters, amazing. By the way, Eagle, the Golden Dagger, all-time moment. This guy's 27. Oh, my
right.
God.
Right.
It makes me feel like crap. But, no, he was unbelievable in the game as well. His calls were just 10 out of 10. The Golden Dagger, 10 out of 10. But, and this isn't a new take. People have been saying this joke on Twitter and on TikTok and wherever you want to find it.
But being able to root for Steph Curry, I get it. I understand why Warriors fans are so damn annoying. I understand why they won't shut up about it. When you have a guy that can just pop off four threes like that and hit the shot that he hit, here's the thing, though. When he took that shot, every single American knew that was going in.
Even though it was the most ridiculous, angle, two guys on him, fading away to the right.
He was doubled. He was double-teamed. KD and LeBron, wide-ass open.
And every single American said that was going up.
Take the shot! Yes. Every single one of us, when they shot it, said, wasn't a bad shot.
No.
The moment he let go of that basketball,
every single person alive knew it was going in. Is there a bad shot that Steph Curry can take?
No.
I don't think there is. I don't think there's a bad shot.
Actually, to be quite honest, maybe a layup in traffic sometimes. Yeah. Like a three-point shot?
Even those tend to go in.
A three-point shot? No. If he is anywhere near half court, he is in range.
Yes, but he was just ridiculous those last
two. Buffalo Wild Wings was losing its mind.
Yes.
It was amazing.
100%. And if you were wondering sort of about the intrigue for Team USA this year, 19.5 million viewers across NBC and Peacock. That's the highest viewed gold medal game since Atlanta in 1996, where they had 12 of 12 players on that team as Hall of Famers.
And that was cable.
And I've been trying to figure out, you know, the calling card and like what we're going to remember this team for. And it's very clear to me, we've already sort of discussed it, it's those big three.
It's the big three.
It's Kevin Durant, it's LeBron James, it's Steph Curry. And I'm going to go out and say this, and I think this, you know, may be taken as a hot take, but it really isn't. It's disguised as a hot take, and it really is a very cold, regular take. It's the best big three we've seen in Team USA basketball history. When we talk about guys that are international superstars that actually performed in these moments, this is the best big three we've ever seen. I mean, we could go back to 92, and the big three was supposed to be Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson didn't give you that much. Charles Barkley was the leading scorer on that team. 96, I mean, it was similar that way, but at the same time, like, this big three is the most iconic I think we've seen in Team USA men's basketball history.
Again, you had arguably the best player of all time.
Yes.
At minimum, the second best player of all time. If you want to talk about the biggest stats guy, leading scorer of all time, 40, 10, and 10. That was your leading guy. And then Kevin Durant, probably the best scorer that we've ever seen.
Yes.
And then Steph Curry, the best three-point shooter we've ever seen.
And usually these guys in past Olympics, like when you're upwards of 35, 36, 39 in LeBron James' situation, these guys, they're laying on the, like Larry Bird's laying on the ground and his back hurts.
Gabe, he won the MVP.
He won the damn MVP. That's what I was going to get to. LeBron James at 39 years of age won the Olympics MVP for the men's basketball tournament.
Insane.
It's different. It's just different this year. Now, I know that all of the scores were seemingly closer, and they only won by 11 in the gold medal game. They won by 4 against Serbia. But I think that most of that, you can point directly to the other side and the competition they're going against.
Yes.
It's a way more, basketball in general, in the NBA, it is way more internationally known, and there's a lot more international players that are playing against you. Again, it was 61 this year on other teams that were participating in the Olympic basketball tournament, and 9 when the Dream Team was playing in 92. I think that's what you can talk about when we talk about how much closer this game is. International ranks, they're catching up. They're not, I don't think they'll ever fully catch up, but they're catching up.
Right, and that's why the games were closer, but at the end of the day, the gold medal is around their neck. Mission accomplished. Job finished.
Yep.
Job finished. And I will say, we've been talking about the big three. A few of the other guys, though, deserve a ton of credit. Anthony Davis was amazing.
I think
in the
game. One name that you need to bring up.
Devin Booker. Ultimate glue guy status, cemented forever. I will ride for Devin Booker until the day I die. Because watching him play, he shot over 60% from three, I'm pretty sure. His true shooting percentage was tremendous. He didn't turn the ball over. He was picking up full court every single time.
Yes.
He was always in it during the big moments.
And then people have been bringing up his tweet from 2023 when someone brought up USA, and it was Kyle Kuzma. USA basketball better get some NBA stars that know how to play their role. Anybody can be nice with the ball in their hands, but can you be cool with defending and going into the corner for a few possessions? Devin Booker quote tweeted that, said, "I'll do it," and he did that in the highest of levels. Throughout the tournament, 11.7 points per game, 56% from the field, 56% from three, 20 assists to 3 turnovers, and a 78 plus 78 plus minus. And then you get, you know, Steve Kerr basically saying this is the unsung hero of this entire tournament. You need to look directly to him. He was the reason we were able to tie everything together and go win the gold medal, and I agree with that. And everybody's talking about the math problem that left out Jason Tatum. And that Steve Kerr basically said it was a math problem. I think Devin Booker was part of the math problem there. He was the guy who was willing to accept his role and accepted it every single game that he was asked to accept it in.
The Jason Tatum thing is very simple to me. He wasn't hitting shots.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Yes, Jason Tatum plays really good defense. Yes, Jason Tatum can move the ball. He wasn't knocking down his shots. And not only was he knocking down his shots, he wasn't taking them. So you can't have him in the game, especially in these big moments. People are, in my opinion, making a little bit too much of this Jason Tatum thing. We can have discussions, and we will a little bit later on, about whether he will be on the 2028 team. But I'm going
to
be quite honest with you. I don't give a damn about 2028 when we're trying to win
a
gold medal this year.
Can I be completely honest? I don't know if I really liked his quote after they won the gold medal. It was to the idea of, I'm happy that we won the gold medal, but I would be lying to you if I was not a little bit frustrated.
And then you have Halliburton.
With the amount of minutes I've gotten. And then Halliburton's like when you get an A on the project and you didn't do anything. When he had the gold medal.
That's the right attitude.
That's the right attitude. I don't know if Jason Tatum had it for me.
No.
And I understand. Listen, I wish he would have gotten more minutes. I wish he wouldn't have gotten DNPs.
Sure. Yeah.
He's earned not getting DNPs in those situations. He's a, multiple-time All-NBA guy, multiple-time All-Star. He's an NBA champion. But I think, when you look at the other supporting players on this team, they were playing a lot better than him. And that's why he got left out.
And in the gold medal game, he got a bit of a run, and it didn't go well.
And then also, the other part of it, I know what Jason Tatum said after. I'm not a really big fan of that messaging. To have your mom on social asking about your playing time. It's just the Jason Tatum experience, at first, I was wondering, it's kind of disrespectful. Like, why is he not getting minutes? But then as it started to, continue to stack on top of each other, the responses just started to get a little bit much for me. You won a gold medal. You accomplished a goal that you set out to accomplish. I don't know if you should be that outward about your anger toward not getting minutes.
Yeah. Back to some positives, though. Another guy who deserves a lot of credit. I already mentioned Anthony Davis. His defense was just tremendous, especially, his work on the boards. Drew Holiday, that three that he hit was huge. Knocking down that three.
Hit a couple of threes late in the game.
I think he hit one against Serbia as well. He hit a big three. His defense, though, was tremendous. And it just really seemed like at the end of the game, there were like six guys that they trusted, and Drew Holiday was one of those six guys.
Yeah, and there's no surprise LeBron, after winning Olympics MVP, he did have a quote on his future and future Olympics. He said, I can't see myself playing in Los Angeles in 2028. I didn't see myself playing in Paris in 2024 either, but 4 years from now, I can't see it, which is...
We'll see.
We get it.
Maybe an RDJ moment.
But here's the thing. It's in L.A. in 2028. I don't know. Give him sort of that Larry Bird, Magic Johnson magic.
Just put him on the team.
Just, why not?
Let him be the coach.
Lateem USA.
Lateem USA.
Like, why not? We'll talk about that in a little bit, though. USA women's basketball won gold. They beat France 67-66. Way too close.
Whoa.
Way too close.
Whoa.
Didn't expect that. They couldn't hit shots. They struggled. Aja Wilson was phenomenal, though. She had 21.
Oh, she's unreal.
She had 21 of their 67 points in the gold medal game. Their eighth straight gold and 61st straight Olympic win. The dominance they've shown is insane.
Maybe the most dominant Olympic team we've ever seen.
I think we're there. I think we're there.
That's eight straight.
It's as dominant as it gets.
It's crazy. We've never seen them lose in our lifetime.
I know. It's as dominant.
If you are under 31, you have never seen the women's basketball team lose.
Now, I hate to be this guy, and I'm going to bring up a little bit of negative here. Diana Taurasi was DNP. She didn't really play very much, and she got played off the floor a lot in this tournament. I know that she's earned being on this team, with what she's done in her career, whether it was at UConn or in the WNBA. But I don't know. Like, the Caitlin Clark experience, looking back at it, I know they won gold.
Well,
no, they handled their business. But looking back at it, Caitlin Clark probably could have been put in that spot over Diana Taurasi. Probably.
I agree.
But I think, you know, when we get down to brass tacks, we sort of talk about the reasons Diana Taurasi needed to be on this team. Lifetime Achievement Award.
Sure.
And it's hard to keep her out. It would seem disrespectful. If we're talking about Jason Tatum, it being disrespectful for him not to get minutes with this team, it would be disrespectful to leave Diana Taurasi off of the women's USA basketball team at the end of the day.
Few things are allowed to be true at the same time.
Yep.
The Team USA would have been better with Caitlin Clark rather than Diana Taurasi. It also didn't really matter. They won gold, and Taurasi had earned the right to be there over time. So it needs to probably be her decision to hang it up. And I understand why Team USA didn't feel comfortable saying, hey, you know that rookie that you really seemingly don't like? We're going to put her in your spot. The politics of that can be tricky. And again, at the end of the day, would they have won this gold medal game by more if they had Caitlin Clark in the game? Probably so. Did they win the game? They did.
Yep. Now, with that, I think there's a lot more certainty and understanding on the WNBA side or the Team USA for the women's side about who's going to be on this team.
Certainly.
In LA 2028. But the men's side, there is some givens, and there is some guys that I would like to see on it. And I think we need to discuss it. So let's go ahead and grab a break, and we'll talk about who is going to be on these teams at home in LA in 2028. That's next, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. In 2028 in LA in just a moment. I have a couple more things, though, I want to bring up. One, Adidas and Nike put out their commercials immediately. Adidas for Anthony Edwards after winning a gold medal, and then Nike, you had Kevin Durant, and they put that all out there. But when we look at the hero of the last two games of the Olympic tournament, it was Steph Curry. 36 points in that game against Serbia, in that fourth quarter comeback. And then against France, he was ridiculous. Hit four threes, finished with eight. He was 8 for 13, had 24 points. So he was the best player the last two games when it really mattered. Where's Under Armour? Are they even trying with basketball? Am I missing something? They didn't have a single ad put out for the best three-point shooter of all time. Am I missing something, Connor? Are they like they just don't seem to have a push with their Steph Curry, you know, deal? The Steph Curry deal that was signed a long, long time ago, they have done nothing to really capitalize on that, and it seems like there's been plenty of opportunities.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea why we haven't seen more from Under Armour with Steph Curry. It's maybe they are working on something. I have no idea. I don't have an answer for you. It does feel like a bit of a missed opportunity in the moment.
Oh, it's beyond a missed opportunity.
Because the ads that Nike immediately put out were incredible.
And Adidas. They're beautiful.
We are the odds.
Beautiful. And then Under Armour is just sitting there with the best opportunity of really any of these, companies. Nike, Adidas. Like, they have the best opportunity, and they didn't do a damn thing. Just strange to me. Also, Gershon Yabusele, who was great for France.
Really good.
I think he'll get another chance here relatively soon.
Sounds like the Cavs have some interest.
He put out, been waiting for a second chance, I'm ready, because he played for the Celtics for a couple of years at the beginning of his career. But he was probably the best player on France throughout that tournament, outside of Victor Wembanyama.
I was about to say.
And it seems like he should get a look, and he absolutely posterized LeBron James. We need to get rid of that feed, though. We need to get rid of that highlight.
I'm sorry, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hard to avoid.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't? Okay.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
A poster of LeBron?
Yeah.
No.
It doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. What was Definitely that Jordan not. Crawford back in the day that did it to him at one of his camps?
Again, we have never seen that. I'm unclear as to what you may be referring to.
Okay. All right. I get it. But he has 1 year left on his Real Madrid contract. He's really good over there. $2.5 million buyout. Somebody should take a flyer in the Cavs. You mentioned the Cavs.
Yeah, the Cavs have shown some interest. The thing about him is that it sounds like he was just mostly out of shape when he was playing with the Celtics. And, I mean, he appeared to lose weight, but he was able to keep his strength, which is very important.
He looks like a three-level scorer. Hyper-athletic.
He was shooting threes. Played really good defense.
Really good defense.
Good defense. That
seems like a guy who could be a very good role player in the NBA, and it looks like he wants that opportunity. I wonder if he gets a contract.
I hope he does.
It's really cool, though. That's also what the Olympics are for, to see other, you know, guys from around the world participate against Team USA. Being in that type of situation with 19.5 million viewers, score 20 points like Gershon Yabusele did, that really gives you, so it affords you some opportunities. That's the cool part of the Olympic tournament.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, two who's going to be on these teams in 2028 in Los Angeles. I think one thing is very clear to me. On the women's side, it's a lot easier, right? On the women's side, it is way easier to decide who's going to be on that team. I think there's going to be a serious injection of youth. I don't know if you're going to have, you're not going to have the Diana Taurasis of the world who are not really doing anything for you. But on top of the Aja Wilson, Brianna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu, Kelsey Plums of the world, you're going to have so many options there. You're going to have Caitlin Clark. Angel Reese is going to be out there for the taking. Cameron Brink, we'll see how she responds to after her injury. She had an ACL injury that is going to keep her out of the rest of the WNBA season, but I imagine she comes back relatively full strength. Paige Beckers is another person that is going to be out there. And then the other person that we have to pay attention to, Juju Watkins, I think could be sort of a mainstay, could be one of those players that just absolutely terrorizes the rest of the world. By the time she gets in the WNBA, ultimately plays for this team in 2028, I think she could be one of the best players on this team.
Absolutely. To be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if every single name that you just said is on that team.
Yeah. And then outside of that, Aaliyah Boston is somebody ESPN projected. I want to see her have, the rest of this year play really well. Jackie Young, Nafisa Collier, who else did I miss here? I think that's it. But I think that they will be very well taken care of because you don't have a blind spot on that roster. You don't have a Diana Taurasi on the roster heading into 2028. I still expect Aja Wilson and Brianna Stewart, even though they will be up a little higher in age at that point, I still expect them to be two of the best players in the world like they were this year. Now, on the men's side, it gets a little trickier. I want to start with in town, our thought process on Ja Morant. What is your thought process on Ja Morant for 2028?
If he's healthy, there's literally no reason for him not to be on that basketball team.
I agree. The reason he got left out mostly this year was because of health. I do think that
Grant Hill directly said it was his injury.
I do think part of it, he didn't really want to mention like the issues he had before that, but I think part of that was present this time around. I still think Ja Morant, if we're talking about him as a player without the injuries, without those missteps, he definitely met all the requirements to be on this year's team. And I think what he will do when he is on the team, cross your fingers, knock on wood, whatever, when he's on the team in 2028, the amount of speed and athleticism he'll have against the rest of the world is going to be absolutely a sight to see. Him getting off with his first step, I think he will terrorize backcourts for the rest of the world.
He'll give and Team USA a different look.
The reason I think it's almost completely written, as long as he doesn't have missteps and as long as the injury stuff stays, relatively fine, he doesn't have a shoulder injury, doesn't have any big injuries, and of course, knock on wood, Nike athlete. We know that Nike plays a massive role with who gets on Team USA. Look at Jaylen Brown this year. I think that everything's perfectly on the table for Ja Morant to be on this team heading into 2028. I think it would be a massive upset if he was off of it.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, I've been a little annoyed by the narrative that has been created about, like, well, Ja Morant has to make sure he continues to behave. It's like, y'all, Ja has done everything he's been asked to do. He has turned it around. Ja didn't commit a crime.
He's done everything right.
He had a faux pas that he should not have done. He made a young, dumb mistake, and he has paid his dues for it, all right? It is time to move forward without this disclaimer before you talk about Ja Morant of like, well, if he keeps it together, why don't we start having the expectation of, no, he is going to keep it together. He is going to do what he needs to do. He has shown off the court that he is turning it around. Having this expectation of him falling and doing something wrong again, I have some uncomfortability with it. Like, even in the ESPN piece that came out today, Kevin Pelton was like, well, he's got to make right his NBA career. What? As long as Ja Morant is healthy, he will be on the 2028 team. That is my take. It's this entire expectation of him falling off and doing something else again. It's starting to drive me crazy.
Well, listen, I don't even necessarily have hope. I have an expectation of him not having any missteps
right
between now and then.
That is my expectation.
That's my expectation. But I don't think it's unfair to discuss it. It's in our face still.
Mentioning it every single time he gets brought up, though.
That's what we talked about throughout this entire thing. Now, because of the missteps he has made, it's always going to be a part of his story, for better or for worse. That's something he has to understand, and I think he's come to understand
that. It was almost 2 years ago, though.
I understand.
Everybody's
got to
move on.
I get that, and it gets annoying because we've talked about it so much. But listen, that's part of his story. Whether we like it or not, it will continue to be part of
my
a story.
My point being, if something that he did in 2022, 23
affects
impacts 2028, come on.
Well, I don't think people are saying that. They're saying if something else popped up, it would affect 2028.
That's what I don't
but
think
I don't
anything
expect,
will.
I don't
right.
expect anything to pop up.
I don't have the expectation.
But again, I don't know if getting angry or frustrated with it being brought up every single time John Morant gets brought up, I don't think that's going to be healthy for you, because I think it will continue to get brought up.
I don't know. I can be
until we get to that point.
It's, to be honest, some of the messaging from ESPN about John Morant overall
bothers me. It's been weird,
and I think that's kind of where my annoyance comes from. It's like, why can't y'all? Grant Hill directly said John wasn't on this team because he was injured. Let's go with that. If John messes up again, we'll talk about it. Until then, let him off the hook, y'all.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything illegal. He didn't commit a crime. There, to be quite honest, there are players that are being discussed being on this team that have done far worse things than John Morant.
Yeah, so let's talk about the holdovers in 2028 that we expect. Tyrese Haliburton, I would expect, after being on it this year. Devin Booker, especially, I think he may be sort of one of the focal points by the time we get to 2028 based on what he did this year. Anthony Edwards, another focal point. I'll get to the other guy I'll bring up in a second. Then you'll have Anthony Davis, Bam Adebayo. Those will be the holdovers, and then we'll have the discussion here. Jason Tatum. What do we think about him going into 2028? I think there's two levels to this on different sides. One, Jason Tatum.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Could be frustrated with the role he played on this team, and he's going to wonder about, you know, what his role will be in 2028. But also, I wonder if Team USA is going to look at him a little bit sideways considering the responses that were had this time around. He got done winning a gold medal game with his team where he got 11 minutes. He got some pity minutes, and it didn't really go that well. But then he talked about how frustrated he was throughout this tournament. He talked about it after they won the gold medal. His mom stepped in and had a tweet wondering, demanding answers for why he wasn't playing. I think it's twofold for him, and it sort of does make me question if he is going to be on this team in 2028. I would lean toward yes, that, you know, we'll let bygones be bygones. We'll get over all this nonsense. But I still think that it's a question. What do you think?
I wish it wasn't a question. It shouldn't be. Like, Jason Tatum should want to be on this team. Team USA should want Jason Tatum. To be honest, I'm a bit annoyed with Jason Tatum because, listen, man, the reason you didn't play, I understand that Steve Kerr's comments about it were annoying and they were kind of dumb. It's like, listen, man, if just say that he wasn't playing because he wasn't playing well offensively. And that's the truth of the matter. Tatum, if you wanted to play more minutes for this
play
team,
better.
Make your shots. It's as simple as that, dude. You were missing your open shots. And with this team, how it was constructed,
if you were a shooter that wasn't knocking down their shots, you weren't playing. And if you were, you played. Look at the guys who played big minutes. Look at the guys who didn't. It came down to shot making and shot taking. Jason Tatum was too complacent on the offensive end. He was passing up open shots. He was missing open shots. And that's why he didn't play. His defense, yeah, it was really good. He was moving the ball still. But when you have players like LeBron, KD, and Steph Curry, you need to surround them with other shooters, guys that can knock down shots. And Jason Tatum couldn't do that.
Yeah.
With Team USA in 2028, you're not going to have those three guys, assuming that you won't have those three guys. So I think that his role would be larger. He wouldn't just be a knockdown shooter. He would have be a guy with the ball in his hands. He'd be more of a playmaker. He'd be playing more of the role that he has with the Boston Celtics on that 2028 team. So if I were Jason Tatum, I would look at 2028 as an opportunity to reframe your narrative when it comes to Team USA and the Olympics. You have an opportunity here, so don't let your pettiness and your feelings about what happened this year ruin that moment. That's my take on it.
Yeah. Now, there's six holdovers, and Jason Tatum would be one of them, so you have six more spots that you have to fill out. I think there's three guys that I think are given as long as they stay healthy by the time we roll around to L.A. 2028. One, of course, John Morant, we already talked about. Then I think Jalen Brunson, as another backcourt member, with what he's doing with the Knicks and what he will continue to do with the Knicks, he'll be sort of an elder statesman at that point. He'll be 31 at that point. He'll be one of the oldest players on the team, so I think he'll be a given. And then the other one that I will mention as a given, I think Paolo Banchero, with what he
Absolutely.
Is going to,
yes.
what he is going to continue to do with the Magic, with where that team I think will head in the Eastern Conference going forward. Now that they added KCP and they have a really good nucleus of players, I think he will be an All NBA type selection. He'll be an All Star multiple times over by the time we get to 2028. Those are my three givens. Then after that, you're going to have three more pieces, and you have to decide what you're going to do with them. I think that there's the thought that Cooper Flagg could be a absolute superstar by the time we get there. I would think that maybe he would be up for consideration. You know, Jaylen Brown, we'll talk about that. I still think there's some politics we have to get over when it comes to Jaylen Brown and the way it went this time around. If you're spurning Nike basketball now, you're going to have to sort of mend some bridges by the time we get to 2028 for you to be a part of that team.
That's going to be a long time.
That's going to be something we have to watch over the next 4 years if Jaylen Brown's going to be a part of this team heading into 2028. And then you're going to have another big. And I don't know. There's two that come to mind, and maybe I'm being a little homerific here with one of them. But Jaren Jackson Jr. or Chet Holmgren are the two guys that I would look at as sort of that 12th guy as another front court member. And I don't know how that's going to age by the time we get to 2028.
It's going to probably come down to Chet, Jaren, and if Zion is healthy, I could see Zion being in play.
Okay.
If he made me guess right now, I'm going to say Chet. And I hate to say that, but I think that Chet fits into Team USA a little bit.
And he played on the U18, U19.
It seems like, and I don't really think it's Jaren's fault. Jaren, the FIBA play wasn't great.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it was his fault because of the way Steve Kerr was trying to use him, but that stink is going to be kind of on him, and that's why I am very hopeful that he gets an opportunity to show what he can actually do in international play. I hope he gets another shot at it to, you know, change the perception of that, but it does feel like the momentum, as of now, is at least behind Chet Holmgren.
Okay. All right.
I don't necessarily agree with it.
I think I'm with you. Second in Rookie of the Year voting. He's going to be on a really good team, probably make plenty of All-Stars. He's been with Team USA when he was younger. He's familiar with the process. I think that I would lean his direction over Jaren. But again, we have 4 years to see what changes between now and then.
Here's what I'll say. If Jaren continues the offensive showcase that he put on last year and he continues to have the defense, I think there would be a really big argument to have him on the team. To be quite honest, if he starts rebounding the ball better, then I could see him on the team. It really comes down to that, because the bigs this year had huge moments for Team USA, and a lot of them came because of their rebounding ability.
What we have seen, too, is you're not going to be able, like the role he plays with the Grizzlies, they're not going to put him in that role when you're playing alongside some of the best players in the world.
It's just a different type
of game. You're going to be used as a natural big.
It's a different basketball game. The pacing is different. The timeouts are different. The fouls are, all of it is different. The way that you play basketball in international play in the Olympics is just different than the NBA. So you've got to find the guys that are able to translate to FIBA a little bit more. And I think that right now, because of the showcase that Jaren had, again, not necessarily his fault in my opinion, I think that Chet has the lead on him right now. But the good news for, or the interesting wrinkle to all of this, is because 2028, it's in the U.S., the host country automatically qualifies for the Olympics.
Yeah.
So 2027, you could see them send a group of guys of, prove it.
Yes.
Prove it.
Yeah.
So I could see Jaren getting another shot to prove it, and he might have a huge moment in that because he will be an older player. He will have more strength. His IQ will continue to go up, and we have seen him steadily improve every single season. So the hope is that by the time we get to 2028, he'll be undeniable. That's yes. What you have to be undeniable.
Yeah. Now, I also have the outside thought of, okay, not LeBron, but Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, would you give it another go?
I think
would you give
Steph
it an opportunity?
More likely.
If you're doing likelihood of the big three this year, Steph, Kevin Durant, and then LeBron James is sort of just completely out. It just doesn't seem like it's feasible. 43 years of age, I just don't see that happening. Although it is in L.A., and if he's still with the Lakers or if he had just retired, I don't know.
Well,
I don't know how that would work.
If we see if you told me that LeBron was involved with 2028, I would be like, oh, is he a coach?
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
It'd be cool.
It'd be really cool. Now, speaking of which, who is going to be the coach? Evan Sidery from Forbes put out a tweet.
Thank God.
And he said that Steve Kerr is likely to retire as Team USA head coach, which means a new lead voice for 2028 in Los Angeles. And I think we know who the lead candidate here would be. Eric Spoelstra is viewed as the strong internal favorite to become Team USA's next in line, following Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr. I would like that a whole lot more.
I would love that.
I think he can manage games better. He's not going to get caught in the politics as much. I think he's a more respected voice within locker rooms like that. I think it would make the most sense. But I this is not done by any stretch of the imagination. Steve Kerr could still be the coach in 2028. This is Evan Sidery, after all. We've seen him be wrong in the past.
He was right about Luke.
More of an aggregator.
Yeah.
More of an aggregator than he is a reporter.
Yeah,
but this is him reporting that Steve Kerr is likely to retire.
I think it would make the most sense if it were Spo. I just think it makes the most sense. I think that we would feel the most secure. I think knowing Steve Kerr, he is not ignorant to the conversation happening about Team USA. And honestly, get out now. You've won gold. Like, you've never technically failed in the Olympics. Get out.
You failed in the World Cup.
But who cares? Like, if we're beyond, who cares?
You won a gold.
The Avengers. We assembled the Avengers and said, no, we're going to win this thing, and they did. Get out now. Get out on top. Because, listen,
no
of
one,
all the
I
criticism
think
we gave him,
yes,
fourth quarter Serbia and on, he did really well. It was good. The rotations were good.
The other part of that, though, it was so easy. It was not hard.
No, that too. Yeah.
Just throw in Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and Steph Curry and let them cook. It was not that complicated.
Well, once he shortened the rotation, it got better.
Where retiring would be good for him, because you're going to have a younger team, unproven team at the Team USA level in 2028. If you flail around, that legacy as a Team USA head coach could definitely take a hit. And I think if you leave right this second, no one's going to remember the rotations. No one's going to remember we may. But I think generally speaking, most people will talk about it and just say, okay, Steve Kerr won gold. Steve Kerr won gold. That's all we asked him to do. He delivered.
Well, actually, here's the real truth of it. I don't even know if we'll mention Steve Kerr. Like, in 20 years, when we're talking about this
team, we're going to be talking about Kevin Durant,
Steph Curry, those three guys.
And
then we'll talk about, Anthony Edwards. Because the alley-oop moment was really cool.
Yeah.
And what was very funny about it is he was so hyped up from getting the alley-oop from his childhood idol. We're talking about Anthony Edwards here.
He immediately
turned the ball over.
Yeah.
The next possession, immediately turned it over because he was so hyped up. And then Kerr was like, all right, young fella, sit down.
But
really, in the narrative of this Team USA, you may mention Steve Kerr because his rotations were weird, but at the end of the day,
coach,
you're not going to really talk about it.
At the end of the day, you're not going to talk about how bad he managed the rotations through the exhibitions and through the early part of the tournament. You will be talking about the fact that he delivered on the promise that we all, we all wanted them to be able to deliver on.
Mission accomplished.
Yes.
Job finished.
We're not going to be talking about that. I think it's a good time for him to get out.
Yep.
It was short stint, though. It was not a long
short
stint.
But successful.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Yeah, sure. Short but successful. And I think Eric Spoelstra is a guy we talked about even during the tournament when we were frustrated with Steve Kerr as a guy who should take over and would be able to lead this team into the future.
Yeah, Spo and Ty Lue being your top two guys.
Kind of like it.
I like it.
Don't mind it at all. Don't mind it at all. Let's go ahead and grab a break, get into hour number two, and we will talk with David Cobb on the other side from CBS Sports. He'll be next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.